Now, in February, we're going to be preaching some vision for the year, but you know what? Today it's still January and it's a long weekend and we're still on holiday, so we're not starting vision stuff yet. But every year in January, people make New Year's resolutions. Hands up if you made a New Year's resolution. No one? Okay, we're all cynical and we're over them. I've made one. I'm going to start vaping this year. Yes! Anyway, why do we make New Year's resolutions? Because we want this year to be better than last year. And we don't want to just do the same old, same old. We want to improve, don't we? And if we want 2020 to be better than 2019, we actually have to do something different. Something has to change. We have to change and grow. And we need to grow into all God has for us. So it's going to take growth for you and I to achieve the things that God has for us to do this year. It's going to take some growth and some change. All of us can grow more if we are willing to. And if we don't grow, we actually short-circuit God's plan for our lives. Unless we grow, we're not going to outwork God's will for our lives. So we need to grow in 2020. Amen? Amen. And to grow, we need to feed ourselves, don't we? Do you imagine a little fruit tree? Now, the greater a tree grows, the more fruit it can bear. When it's big, it can handle lots of fruit. You imagine this poor little wee fruit tree. I've planted this little mandarin tree at my house, and it's just like a little tree. It's so cute. And you imagine a little tree like that. You imagine a little apple tree trying to bear like the weight of 1,000 apples, and it's just little. And the weight alone of the fruit would crush that little tree and kill it. And that little tree would be like, help, help, no, no more apples, it's killing me. And it's been killed by its own apples. It's called death by fruit. You know, we don't want it. We don't want that. Sometimes we can get a bad case of fruit envy. We look at other people and we look at, you know, how maybe large and successful their connect group is compared to ours or something like that. And we can feel jealous of the amount of fruit they're able to bear. And we can think, oh, God, you're so not fair. Why can't I be like that guy? Why can't I have a big connect group or lead lots of my friends to the Lord? Actually, God is fair. And when we each grow large enough to handle that much fruit so the weight of it on our lives won't kill us and break our branches, then he'll give it to us. God doesn't want to kill us, not even with success, not even with good fruit, because he doesn't only love the fruit, he loves us as well. And he will allow each of us as much fruit as we can bear for the stage we're at. And the bigger we actually grow, the bigger we grow, the more fruit we are able to bear for God. So this is why it is vital that we choose to grow daily. Future souls are depending on our growth right now as individuals. And how do we grow? Well, we all know the more they eat, the more we grow. Anyone who's ever had a teenage son knows that, like me right now. There is a relationship between consuming the word and growing. So we're talking about getting into our Bible daily, or getting the Bible into us through our headphones, our earphones daily. So I've got a title, as I've told you, Feed Yourself, and we've got 5 scriptures. Are you ready? Because if we want this year to be different to last year, if we want this year to be better than last year, something's got to change. We have to change. We have to grow. How do we grow? By eating spiritual food. We grow spiritually by eating the word. So here's my first scripture, 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual, pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Grow up. There's a good word right there. So the Bible, God's word, is our spiritual food. I love my Bible. I got it at the op shop for 50 cents. It's amazing how amazing the Bibles, how cheap they are at the op shop. This is like leather, and it's got red words. And you know, where Jesus said them. And it was only 50 cents. I can't believe it. You know, we have to grow spiritually. The more of God's word we consume, the more we will grow spiritually. And growing involves learning to feed ourselves. Now, some believers seem to survive on only one meal a week, Sunday mornings. But if we want to grow, we're going to need more than just one meal a week, aren't we? Now, if we're not being fed, we can't blame others because we are old enough to feed ourselves. And we can get into this book daily on a daily basis if we have an appetite for it. So we need to get an appetite for God's word. You know, a few years ago I heard Pastor Tommy Barnett preach. Who's heard of Pastor Tommy Barnett from Phoenix, Arizona? Amazing father in the faith, Assembly of God pastor over there. I think he's 82 now. He's incredible. And he was telling the story about when he and his son Matthew Barnett planted the Dream Center. Who's heard of the Dream Center in LA, which was about 15 years ago, I think. And when they planted it, they had lots of people come and check out the new church, as sometimes happens when you plant a new church. And there was a whole bunch of people there, and Pastor Tommy said, "Where are you guys from?" They said, "Oh, we've come from Pastor Jack Hayford's church." Who's heard of him? He used to be on Radio Rima. I used to listen to him every night at 8 o'clock. and he said, "Why did you come from Jack's church here? Jack's awesome." And they said, "Well, Pastor Tommy, we just weren't being fed." And he looked at them. And he said, "You know, I can't believe Pastor Jack Hayford, as we know, is one of the living legends of the faith. He is such an incredible Bible teacher and father in the faith. And if he can't feed you, nobody can." And Pastor Tommy said, "Man, if Jack can't feed you, you can't be fed." And I thought, how much can we sometimes be like that? We turn up on Sunday morning at church with our mouths open like baby bats. Feed me. And I think, feed yourself. Get your own worms. Now, I'm just glad you're here, frankly. And Sunday church is vital, but it was never intended to be our only input. It's only one meal a week. It's never going to sustain your spiritual growth. We need daily feeding. We've got to learn to feed ourselves. Some of us are spiritually starving because the only Bible we ever hear is from the pastors preaching on Sunday. And instead of growing and increasing, we're actually starving and shriveling and decreasing spiritually. We actually need to hear from God ourselves through His Word, not only hear it secondhand revelation from someone else. Growth means change. Growth is a choice. Growth is a discipline. Now, physical growth happens as we feed ourselves a diet of nutritious food. So also spiritual growth happens as we feed ourselves a diet of solid spiritual food, God's Word. I'm talking about getting into this book daily. You can't inject it. You have to see it and read it or hear it. Now, in the New Testament times, most people were illiterate, so they would hear it. They would hear someone who could read it to them. So let's make it the first thing when we wake up in the morning that we reach for is not our device, is not our phone to see how many likes we've got or see what the weather's going to be or hear the depressing news of the day. But let's reach for God's word. Let's get truth in us before we get anything else in us. Amen? Now let's have a look at the Bible for a moment. The Bible is God's book. Don't you love your Bible? I love my Bible. Sometimes I say that to it. I love your Bible. It's God's book. It's God's words written down. It speaks to the issues of our lives. It reveals God's master plan for the planet, because He does have one, you know. And the Bible needs to be the foundation for what we believe. Not just what most people in the world believe, not just what's politically correct to believe, the truth of God's word. It needs to be our worldview. We need to have a biblical worldview. A BWV, and if you're a bit dyslexic, you end up with a BMW. That can't be bad, can it? Anyway, now we can actually pretend that God is anything we want Him to be if we like, but what matters is what God actually is like. Now, our pretending cannot change who God is. He is like He is, and this book shows us who He is and what He is like. The Bible is what true Christianity is all about. The Bible is the most read and printed book in more languages than any other book ever. It is still the number one best-selling book in the world today. The Bible has influenced the world more than any other book, and the author of the Bible is God Himself. And He spoke through 40 different people, and they wrote 66 books, which together make up the canon of Scripture, which is the Bible. Now, we know God is truth, and He cannot lie, so we can be assured that all of His book is true. And God has chosen to preserve His word, the Bible, perfectly over the centuries. And if you and I were able to read it in the original Greek, New Testament, and Hebrew, Old Testament, and then read it today also in our modern translation in English, we would find the meaning to be the same. And I used to work with a guy at Bethlehem College who did read the New Testament in the original Greek with some of the earlier translations and also with the modern ones. He said it's exactly the same because God has preserved his word. Now, God has given us his book for a reason. He wanted to show us what he is like. We can't see God because he is invisible. He is spirit. So to show us what he is like, he has revealed himself to us through history, and he's written it down in a book so we can know exactly what he is like. Now, we may all have different ideas about what God may be like, but the Bible corrects all these ideas. It teaches us about the character and the nature of God. The Bible is like a window through which we can see God clearly and we can know what he is like. Reading the Bible is like spending time with God face to face. We can know God for who he really is rather than simply who we might make him up to be. When we read the Bible or listen to the Bible, it's like we're getting to know the Lord, finding out what he's really like. Here are some quotes about the Bible. Someone once said, "The Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't." Someone else once said, "If you carry a Bible when you are young, it will carry you when you are old." Here's a quote from David F. Nygren, American evangelist and author. He said, "If all the neglected Bibles were dusted simultaneously, we would have a record dust storm and the sun would go into eclipse for a whole week." Lastly, my favorite from Spurgeon, that great preacher. He said, "There is enough dust on some of your Bibles to write damnation with your fingers." Hope you're feeling encouraged today. But when we read the Bible, we not only get to know about God, we actually get to know God. Because the Bible is not like other books. It's not like a novel. It's not like a maths textbook. It's not like some celebrity's biography. The Bible is alive. And God's word is alive because God is alive. Here's another scripture, our second one. Hebrews 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." The word of God is alive. It's sharp. It cuts us open. It not only challenges our actions, it challenges our motives. Also, it changes us. The Bible possesses the power of life. We can live day by day and year by year with it. You can't do that with Shakespeare or Tennyson. The Bible can be read over and over again for decades until its words become part of life itself. Someone once said, "Other books were given for our information, but the Bible was given for our transformation." Now, the worrying thing in all of this is, many believers say they don't have time to read the Bible or listen to the Bible. "Yeah, it's all right for you, Eleanor. Some of us have to go to work. And I work all day. And I work hard." Well, I'll tell you this. It doesn't take long to read a wee bit of God's word every day. Did you know that half the books of the Bible can be read in 10 to 45 minutes each? And many of them can be read, the whole book, in less than 20 minutes. And the entire Bible can be read aloud slowly and with expression in 71 hours. Now, if we want to be serious disciples of Jesus, we've got to be in his word. We've got to get his truth inside us. We have to prioritize it daily above other things. We give ourselves time to feed ourselves physically. How much more important is it to give ourselves time to feed ourselves spiritually? Now, all of us on the planet have the same amount of time, 24/7. It's how we choose to use our time that counts. If you say to me, "I don't have time to read the Bible or listen to it," I would say this back to you. Do you have time to watch TV? Even if it's just the news every night. That's like, if you include the sport, that's like 45 minutes. Including ads. Do you have time to play Xbox? Do you have time to play Candy Crush on your phone? Do you have time to watch stuff on YouTube? Do you have time to check your Facebook and your Instagram? Like they say, we've got to turn off Facebook and get his face, our face in his book. You know, we all have time. It's how we choose to use it. Let's choose to prioritize God's word. Here's our third scripture, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's the NIV. The New Living says all scripture is inspired by God. Now, when these letters were written to Timothy by Paul, the apostle, they only had the Old Testament. So in this scripture, when they're talking about scripture, they're actually referring here to the Old Testament and the New Testament being God-breathed. So often as Christians, we completely write off the Old Testament. But that's what Paul was referring to here. We can say, oh, well, you know, that's old and the new has come. Or that's the law. No, it's not all the law. Only a bit of it's the law. We need to be receiving the whole counsel of God. There's a reason that this Bible has the Old and New Testament in it. We can't just read the bits of the Bible that we like. The Gospels, the Psalms. I am amazed at how many mature Christians who've been saved for years have never read through the whole Bible. We need to lift our game here. There's great stuff in the Old Testament. It's the same God as in the New Testament, by the way. We actually need to work our way through the whole Bible, have a balanced diet, and not just read our favorite bits. We've got to get the big picture. We can't just have the nice, sweet, fluffy bits all the time. You can't live on dessert or pudding. You have to eat your meat and veg if you want to grow. Like that great prophet Pink Floyd once said, you can't have your pudding if you don't eat your meat. Anyway, as followers of Jesus, we need to know what is in the Bible. It's really important that we agree with God and like what he likes and hate what he hates. And we can't follow Jesus closely if we don't even know what he's into. If we don't know, we've got to say yes to what Jesus says yes to. Because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. There's another line you could sing right there if you knew the song. Okay. That's a great song, but we have yet to learn it. If we only read our favorite Bible verses, we're going to miss a lot of other vital stuff. How are you going to know to not take the mark of the beast if you don't know what the mark of the beast is? Oh, I shouldn't have skipped Revelation. Oh, darn. Some people are just freaking out because I just said the mark of the beast. It's okay. We'll probably be raptured by then anyway, so don't worry. You don't need to start storing up tins of baked beans and digging an underground bunker in your backyard. Actually, if all you have in your bunker is baked beans, no one's going to want to be in the bunker with you, just to let you know that. You're going to be alone in that bunker. We need to know about the stuff that's in God's word, because the Bible doesn't just have stuff about the past, it has stuff about the future also that we need to be aware of. We need to know the whole counsel of God. I remember when I first became a Christian, I started reading the Bible. I thought I was reading my Bible, but my Bible was reading me. And I have found over the last 32 years that God speaks to me as I read it. Specific things for particular circumstances in my life. And as I hear it and read it every day, he speaks to me afresh. I love the Bible. It never gets old because its author never grows old or out of date. The Lord may be the Ancient of Days, but he is youthful, and he is full of energy and zeal and power. And by the way, he's always doing new things. He's not some grumpy old man with a beard and a stick. No offense if you've got a beard or a stick. But the Lord is strong and youthful and eternally relevant. And as followers of the Lord, we need to be also. The word of God will keep you young. We need to young it up a bit. Tell the person next to you, you could young it up a bit. Yeah. Youthful in spirit, that's great. The word of God has preserving power, but the Bible won't help us if it just sits by our bed on our dressing table. It is not a lucky charm. It only helps us when we open it and read it or listen to it and then do it. Live it out. The Bible is so powerful. It has the power to transform lives because it has the words of life, because it's spoken by the author of life. And God's word is a lamp, it says in the Psalms, a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. So God guides us through his word. He speaks to us through his word. And when I read it every day, it's always fresh because he's got a fresh word every day. And it's our spiritual food, and he wants us to feed on it every day. Because your spirit is craving that spiritual food to keep it alive and to keep it prospering and growing. And a little bit of food every day will keep you alive and doing much better than if you just binge for a while and then starve yourself for weeks. That kind of behavior will kill you for a while. To be strong and healthy physically, our bodies need a certain amount of food daily and good food, not just sweet stuff. And if we only feed our kids dessert, they don't grow. We need balanced diet, 3 meals a day. And we need this also spiritually. To be strong and healthy, we need a certain amount of food every day. So if you just grab a couple of psalms at bedtime, 2 nights a week, you are not having a balanced spiritual diet. And you will not be able to sustain strong spiritual growth and health. There are too many weak, malnourished Christians walking around wondering why they're struggling and they don't have the strength to fight spiritual battles and they blame the devil. The devil's beating me down. Hey, we're adults. We're mature now. We need to learn to feed ourselves. Tell the other person, feed yourself, the person on the other side. That's right. And we need to prioritize this in our daily routines. Now, I know a lot of you are mature Christians and a lot of you are feeding yourself all the time and have been reading the Bible a lot longer than I have because I've only been saved 32 years. So good on ya. So this is for all of us just to remind ourselves how we need to be in it every day. Because a lot of Christians in the Western world, we say, yes, God is first in my life. But if he is first, there'll be fruit. If he is first, there'll be signs. It'll be measurable. If he is first, we will put his words first. I remember when Alan and I were going out, and we dated for like 4.5 months, and then we got engaged for 6 months, and then we got married. Do not try this yourself. Anyway, we'd been friends for years before that. But when we were going out, he was an accountant, and he was away every second week auditing. So on average, he was away for half our dating and engaged time over that year. And so this was pre-internet or phones or anything like that. So he used to write me letters. Remember that, letters? Anyway, he used to write me letters. And I would love getting his letters because they were his words written. And as I read them, I could hear his heart to me. I love reading his words. And sometimes there wouldn't be a letter and I'd go out to the letterbox outside my flat in Hamilton and I'd say, bear fruit or I'll cut you down in Jesus' name. Bit of spit there. And anyway, invariably a letter would come. And I couldn't wait to get to my room and rip it open and read his words. And I thought, are we like that with the words from God that he has written to us in his book? It's his heart for us because he loves us. And it's like we just can't wait to hear what he's saying. And if you just read one page from the Bible, you're not reading through the whole book, the whole letter. You're not getting the whole of his message. We need to be committed to reading it. Now, if you're a new Christian or a young Christian, you're not used to reading the Bible all the time, a great place to start is not at the beginning like you would with another book, because you'll die by the time you hit Leviticus. Start in the New Testament. That's at the back. And this is what I always say to new Christians. Start with the Gospel of John. The other 3 synoptic Gospels are great too, but John has a very small vocabulary. Even kids can get into it. It's like an inch wide, but it is a mile deep, and it's amazing. I'm not patronizing the Gospel of John here. It's my favorite Gospel, actually. It's powerful. It's unique. If you read a chapter a day, it'll only take you 5 minutes. It's only about one page. It's got 21 chapters. That's 3 weeks. You've got a 3-week Bible reading program right there. Follow it with the next book, Acts, 4 weeks Bible reading because it's got 28 chapters, 4 times 7, 28. So you've got a 7-week Bible reading program right there, John then Acts. Ask the Lord to speak to you before you read it. A chapter a day. I always say to my kids, a chapter a day keeps the devil away. And so read a chapter a day and you've got a 7-week Bible reading plan right there. And it's great to have, you can read it on your device, you can even underline things on your device. But at the moment, I'm reading on my phone in another translation, but I'm still, because I like to underline things in my Bible, have this Bible open as well, and I'm underlining where it is in my paper Bible. So if we have a power cut and I can't charge my phone, I could still read the Bible. And I go back to my paper Bible because paper is there for me, man. It never runs out of power. And then I know where to find that verse because it's underlined and God's spoken to me through it. So it's good practice also, if you can, to have a journal and write it out, the verse that has spoken to you the most. I do this daily. And this renews our mind. Like Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It retrains our brains to be inundated with God's truth and to think like God does. And we need this. It displaces lies with truth. I've just been reading a book by Dr. Carolyn Leaf called Switch On Your Brain. Some of you may be familiar with it, maybe have read it. She spoke at Sisters. I heard her speak there a few years ago. And it's all about renewing your mind. And this is how we do it, through the Word. I can't tell you how important this is for each of us to do. This helps our mental health. This helps our emotional well-being. This tells us who we really are. This tells us what we really have in God. We desperately need to be in the Word ourselves daily. We also need to desperately need to be under the preaching of the Word, as you are now, weekly. Otherwise, any of us can so quickly go astray. The New Testament tells us there will be deception. It'll be a big thing in the last days. I believe we are living in the last days right now before Jesus comes back. The thing about being deceived is that you don't know when you are. So we need a steady diet of truth every day to fend off the daily bombardment of lies that this world throws at us. Now make sure you have a translation of the Bible that is in modern everyday English so it's easy to read and understand. And remember, if you find reading difficult, listen to it. My boys like to prefer listening to it than reading it, and that's just as spiritual. And there are many apps that you can get for free on your phone that will read the Bible aloud to you. And you'll be blown away, if you're not already, as you start to get into the Bible every day, God's instruction book for life. It's amazing. Now, I have a challenge for our church this year, and I threw it out there last week in Tauranga, and I'm throwing it out there again today here at North, and I'm going to throw it out there at Coast in a few weeks as well. That is, let's read through the whole Bible in a year. If you have never done that, I want to challenge you to do it in a year. It involves reading three chapters a day, one of the new and two of the old. Even if you've done it before, if we did it again, imagine this, it would change our church. The faith levels would rise. Now, if it's too much for you to read three chapters a day, you can just read one a day and you'll get through the New Testament. Not only the New Testament, you add Psalms and Proverbs onto the New Testament. So one a day gets you through the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. And then if you want to read through the whole Bible, add on two of the Old Testament minus Psalms and Proverbs. I've read through the whole Bible every year for the last 22 years. It's not very hard. It doesn't take that long. It's just a habit, a practice. If we up our spiritual diet, we will lift our spiritual growth. So many Christians want to lift their spiritual growth, but they won't lift their spiritual diet. We've got to do this if we want to see this. Now, there's heaps of apps on your phone for reading through the Bible in a year you can get, and it'll remind you, bing, daily, read this chapter and this chapter. It's so helpful. Or you could be accountable with a friend and text each other, or you could do it with your spouse or your flatmate, keep each other on track. You could even start today, Matthew chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You don't have to have started on the 1st of January. Now, it's not about the amount, and I don't want you to get behind and feel bad and feel condemned and try and get into some works mentality. That's not what we want. So even if you just did one a day, you'll get through the New Testament, which is amazing. Another challenge perhaps could be, if you've already got your own Bible reading plan, I don't want to mess with it. I'm happy for you, and I think that's fantastic. Another challenge could be to do C3 College like Tim and Jude have been doing all through last year. It's 2 hours a week in Tauranga. And it's 7 till 9 p.m. on Tuesday nights, and it's 8 weeks a term. So you can sign up for a term. You don't have to sign up for the whole year. It's $10 a night, works out at $80 for each module. Plus you buy one of Pastor Phil's books, which is usually about $20. And the first one is on leadership, and it's starting, I think, not the first Tuesday, but the second Tuesday in February. And that is an incredible growth experience. And I've seen the growth of some of the people who've been doing it. It's incredible. Has anyone done C3 College? Yep, a couple of here and here. That's so exciting. It's awesome. So who thinks they could be up for a bit of a challenge for something this year in their Bible reading or in their spiritual diet? That's awesome. Here's another scripture. John 8, verse 31 and 32. We're nearly finished. Jesus said, if you obey my teaching, or some translations, if you obey my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's important for us to not only have the truth sitting by our bed, it's important for us to know the truth. Now, to know the truth, we've got to hear it, we've got to read it, we've got to ingest it, and then we will be set free. Nice feelings will not set us free. Exciting experiences will not set us free. It's knowing the truth is the only thing that's going to set us free. How do we know the truth? When we memorize a verse, we know it by heart. Learn it off by heart is the phrase. It gets in our heart. That means we not only put it in our mind, but in our heart. Did you know that memorizing the word, scripture memory, is a key to overcoming sin? Last scripture, Psalm 119, which is a whole psalm about the word of God, the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you're struggling with an area of sin that is defeating you, find some Bible verses on that topic and memorize them. If you're struggling with gossip, learn a verse from the book of James about the tongue. When I started going out with Alan, I memorized 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, which is about temptation. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful with it. Anyway, I was trying to keep my hands from being laid on him. You know what I mean? Now, if you don't know where to find a verse about your struggle, your Connect Group leader will help you. Talk to Deb and Nick. Talk to Ron. He's been reading the word for like about 70 years. You're amazing, Ron. I want to be like you when I grow up. I love how my kids used to come home with a memory verse each week as part of their homework at Bethlehem College in the primary. And I know at Kids Church here at City Church, we get the kids learning memory verses. Because if we put the word of God in our hearts when we don't need it, the Holy Spirit will bring it out when we do need it. It's just like entering data into a computer and you save it and you can bring up a file whenever you need it. It's the same with us. When we memorize a verse of scripture and put it into our heart, the Holy Spirit can put it in our mind straight away, and he brings it to our remembrance exactly when we need it. And I'm going to finish with this very brief story. Winky Prattney, who knows Winky Prattney? He's amazing. He's a Kiwi, and he's like the oldest youth pastor in the world. And once when he was, years ago, when he lived in New York, I think he was doing Teen Challenge, they had a night meeting, and then there was a girl needed to walk home. They said, Winky, can you walk that girl home so she's not walking through this dodgy part of town by herself? He said, okay. So he walked the girl home, all good, dropped her off, and then he was walking back to Teen Challenge, and he's walking like this, and he hears some footsteps behind him. And he's starting to freak out, thinking, oh no. So he thinks, I'll walk faster. So he's walking faster. And then he hears the footsteps behind him, speed up faster. And he's thinking, oh God, help me. Lord, what shall I do? And suddenly a verse that he had memorized popped into his brain. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. That's Psalm 34, verse 7. And he just suddenly stopped walking and spun around and yelled, hallelujah! And the guy who was walking behind him ran off and got a fright. And he knew God had saved him and delivered him because he'd memorized the word. And it was like a word of knowledge, and it helped him because he knew angels were around him. If the band could come, please. It's really important for us to fully utilize the freely available word of God, because in many nations of this world, this book is not freely available. There are thousands of people in this world who do not yet have a Bible they can read in their language, because there is not one printed in their language yet. And it is a huge blessing to have the words of Almighty God written to us, printed out for us in our native language. The devil does not want us to take a hold of these words. The devil does not want us to be free. He will do anything he can to distract us from reading this word every day or listening to this word every day. He knows these words will set us free, and he wants us to stay in bondage to lies. God is calling us to be true disciples who follow him, not from a distance, but from up close. Let's stand, shall we? Are you ready to feed yourself this year? Some of you have been feeding yourself regularly for decades. Some of us need to lift our game when it comes to the word. If we want to grow more in 2020 than we did in 2019, we've got to change our diet and increase our spiritual diet, increase our word. Let's lift our word intake and we'll see our growth outworked as well. Let's close our eyes. If God has been speaking to you about lifting your game in terms of lifting your diet of the daily word of God input into your life, why don't you lift your hand? I want to pray. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Father, right now you see our hands upraised, and I thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us. I pray right now you'd show us how to prioritize your word. Give us ideas about when in our daily routine we could fit it in and make it a priority, even more than our food, even more than our sleep, even more than our TV, that we would love you and love your word. We'd want to hear your voice, Lord. When you love someone, you want to hear their voice. You want to hear what they're saying. You want to hear their heart. God, we want your words more than we want food, more than when we want sleep, more than our entertainment. We want you. Lord, I pray your word would rest in our hearts and speak to us. In Jesus' name, give us your grace.